Appreciate the faithfulness of the special singers. It's been a real blessing that there's been recently some more consistent special singers. So y'all, please don't get tired. We appreciate it. It's a great blessing to the service. This morning, and I know I used to be out during the adult Sunday school class, and sometimes that was probably easier. When the Lord dovetailed the lesson and the message, because I didn't even know many times what was being taught. I was in this morning, and when Brother Justin wrote his title on the board, I thought, And as the lesson progressed, I thought, Lord, do you want me to share something else? And the answer was no. Which means the Lord has a lesson for us to learn this morning. I'd like to begin over in the book of Jeremiah in the 32nd chapter. Written on the board, learning the lesson. And it just dovetails with what we heard in the adult Sunday school class this morning. They have turned unto me the back. Speaking about the children of Israel with God. They've turned their back on me and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. In other words, the prophet was telling the people that God taught you. He was showing you what you needed to do, but you turned your back to him. As parents, have you ever had your children turn your back to you when you were trying to tell them something? I have some instruction for the parents. If your child turns their back to you while you are trying to give instruction, it would behoove you to teach them not to do that. If they turn their back to you, they're presenting a good place of correction. Because they need to learn that they need to put their face towards you and to listen and make eye contact. And so the children of Israel were not facing God. He got up early to tell them what to do. In other words, I told you in time. I didn't wait until you got into a problem before I tried to fix it for you. I got up early. And I tried to give you some counsel and some advice to keep you from having a problem, but you didn't listen to me. Folks, when we fail to listen to the Lord, we're going to have a problem. When we fail to take the counsel of the Lord and we fail to learn the lesson that God is trying to teach us, you see, the Lord is not a hard taskmaster this morning. The Lord is not trying to make our life difficult. And young people and children, and my children have heard this for as many years as they have on their age, probably. But the reason we give counsel and correction and instruction is not because we're the boss. It's because we want to keep them from trouble in life. We want them to be successful in life. We want to show some of the pitfalls that are ahead of them. We want to point them out. We want to teach them the things that will make them a good, productive citizen and a good, productive Christian in the kingdom of God. But it is a wise person that will listen to the counsel that is given, and here the children of Israel didn't do it. I believe this morning that God has some prepared lessons for all of us. Now, I will say for Sunday school teachers, it's good to have a prepared lesson. I know there are times that I have come to service and the Lord has given me a different message, but it wasn't because I wasn't prepared. The Lord wants us to do our part. He wants us to pray and study and seek Him for inspiration. If I would have gotten up this morning and said, well, it's time to preach, there's a lot of good stuff in here. Y'all know that? Let's just kind of open up and see where it opens up to. And you know what? You could probably open up the Bible and show me the verse and I could preach on it. And some of you might never know I hadn't studied. Other times you might. But do you realize that that's not what it's about? It's about seeking the Lord for what lesson He has for us. And there is a time, it's not time to be teaching Vanessa calculus. It's not time. But it is time for Ethan to be learning calculus. And so there is a time for everything. And just because there is a lesson doesn't mean it should be the lesson. Which means in all of our lives there is, I'm going to say a now, but there is the lesson that God has for each one of us to learn. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 17, Thou sayest that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? And that he said, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And then he went on to say this, as many as I love, I what? I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous thereof, therefore, and repent. Do you know that there's a lot of knowledge in this room here this morning? There's a lot of knowledge. But in the knowledge that we have, if we're not careful, we can get to a place that we've arrived. What happened with this congregation? They said, we're rich and increased with goods. We don't need anything. At what point do we stop learning as a Christian? To the Smiths and the French Rips would be our elders here this morning. At what age is it? Because I know I haven't gotten there. At what age do we get to that we can say, we've learned it all, we've gotten there? We don't get there, do we? Because as long as we have life, there are new challenges. The enemy is still working. There are lessons that the Lord wants us to learn in every stage of life. But here's a key. If we don't learn certain lessons, if Vanessa did not learn her math lessons, all right, she's in sixth grade. If she did not learn her math lesson, and then seventh grade rolls around, and she never got sixth grade down, but we don't want to make her feel bad. You know, I mean, that's kind of the mentality of our world today. Let's not make anybody feel bad. Let's pass everybody. They didn't pass the test, but you know what? Whatever. Let's just move on. That's going to catch up. Didn't get seventh grade math. Well, sixth grade and seventh grade math were a bust. But maybe calculus will work. I've got news. It won't work. It won't work. Which means that maybe I'm not doing calculus spiritually this morning. And maybe I'm doing kindergarten math, but that's just maybe as difficult for me in kindergarten as calculus is for someone in 12th grade. But the key is that I want to learn the lesson that's before me. I want to learn it so I can move on. But folks, there are people that are not growing spiritually this morning because they're trying to move on and they never learn the lesson that God put before them. And they've been saved for maybe years and it seems like they're just not progressing spiritually. Why is that? Because somewhere they tried to pass and keep going forward and they never learned the lesson. And the Lord keeps trying to bring it back again. You know, and I will say, I have not passed every spiritual lesson the Lord gave to me with flying colors the first time. Is there anybody that has? And I unfortunately have to acknowledge that, you know, you think the third time's a charm. Spiritually, that hasn't always worked for me either. But the Lord was long-suffering, and He was merciful. It's like, Michael, let's try it again. You didn't get it this way, let's try it a different way. You didn't get it from lecture, let's try it from the book. Didn't get it from the book, let's get it from some other way. But Michael, I want you to learn this lesson because you're going to need it. If you're going to grow, if you're going to prosper, you're going to have to learn the lesson one way or another. And the Lord has so many different ways of trying to get us to learn the lesson. But if we say we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, we're not going to have a mindset to learn. We're not going to have a desire because I've got it all. That we can read the Word of God, the preaching go forth, and we're sitting there thinking, yes, yeah, 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 blah, blah, blah. I know all of that. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, I know that. And so it's just a duty. Open up your Bible in the morning for worship. Yes, in those days. Yeah, I've read. Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's still true. And I'm done with worship. And I'm not looking for the lesson. I'm not looking for the challenge. I'm not looking for something to inspire me to grow spiritually, to get beyond where I am today. The Lord is interested in us learning the lesson because we have not arrived yet. And we had a man working for us a few days this week. He was doing a job for us, and when I talked to him on the phone, I was gone when he came out to give us a bid. And so I told Renee the things I wanted her to find out from him. And I talked to him on the phone. I was looking for a little bit of a discount. And he told me, he said, you're paying me. I've been doing this for 60 years. He said, I've been doing it for 60 years. He said, you're paying in part for experience. I will do the job right. I'll tell you what, I don't know for sure what all I was paying for, but if he's been doing it for 60 years, he's gotten sloppy. And I could have done the job better myself. And I've never done it before. Do you know that it's a way of tradesmen? I'm finding in almost a lot of trades, and this is not boasting, please, if you think that you're missing the point. On a lot of trades, I could do it better than what I can pay someone to do it. Because I'll admit, I don't know how to do it. So I'll go look it up. I'll go find the right way to do it. And then I will be meticulous and it will take me 4 or 5 times as long. That's the downside to that. I would still be working on it. That's the downside. But when there's things I walked in, it's like after they left, I said, what in the world did they do? If you would have taken 10 more seconds, it would have looked right. But I was paying for experience. What about spiritually? We have the knowledge. I have to believe the man had the knowledge, but he got so casual in just getting it done that he didn't take time to do it to perfection. And I like things done to perfection. And it takes a little bit of extra time. If you're going to nail something, do it right. If you're going to cut something, do it right. If you're going to teach a lesson, do it right. If you're going to do something, put the effort into it. Put the effort into it and learn the lesson right, and it will serve you well through life. And when you don't hire anybody to do anything, you'll get to the end of life and you'll be a mechanic and a carpenter and a plumber and an electrician and a teacher and wonderful things, right? Now, some of those things are with your hands and some of us have some physical limitations. We can't be bending and doing all those things. And so it keeps us from doing some of that. But what about spiritually? The Lord wants us to have that desire that if I'm going to be a Christian, if I'm going to follow the Lord, and folks, this is not arrogant. If I'm going to follow the Lord, then Lord, I want to follow you as good as I can. If I'm going to follow this and I'm going to say I believe the Bible, then I want to learn the lessons from the Bible. If I'm going to be a child of God, I want to be the best child of God I can be. And that's not arrogance or self-righteousness. It's recognizing that, Lord, this is what you've called me to, and I have a desire for that. So, Lord, would you teach me? Would you help me to grow? I thought about just putting part 2 on Justin's lesson. I wasn't necessarily planning learning the lesson part 3, but I will see how it goes. Joe was the man's name that was working for us. And I believe I had to point out one thing that we did want changed, and he got so defensive. And he started, and I was very polite about it. I said, Renee, this is a little problem here. I said, we would like it fixed. And it was going to take him a little time to undo what he had done. Some of the other problems, I thought, I'll just swallow it and let it go. And I settled for less. But he was not happy. Came in the next morning, I sent him a text just to be sure he brought the tools he needed. And I came in and said, Joe, I said, how you doing this morning? He said, not good. It's like, whoa, what is the matter? Because he didn't want to be questioned on what, see, I'm the expert. But he was wrong. He was wrong. And the sad thing is, I pointed out before he even started, I said, there's a little problem here that'll need to be fixed when you get here. He still didn't fix it. So then he had to go back and undo it because he knew. I just wonder this morning in our knowledge, what are we doing with it? We can point something out spiritually to people. It's like, well, I know that. Well, then why aren't we doing it? You know what I'm saying? We can have a head knowledge. We can have the learn it. We can know up here, but are we applying what we know this morning? And if we don't apply in life the things that we know spiritually, what good is it going to do us? You know what makes the struggle worse when you know but you don't do it? I have to think that when he first started doing some things wrong, that it probably bothered him. But as the way of many tradesmen, they're more interested in getting the job quick and getting the check and leaving the job. Because as he said after he settled down, then he was all pleasant finally after he decided to redo it. Because Renee and I finally said, well, just whatever. And then he, oh, okay, I'll do it. And then he was happy. Or acted like it. I wonder what things bothered tradesmen when they first started doing the job right. And then they got so fast that their work just wasn't to perfection. Do you know, as Christians this morning, when we know what's right, and we know where the Lord wants us to be careful, it really bothers us when we don't measure up to it, doesn't it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like I was short there. I should have done better. And it really bothers us. That's good. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to start saying, well, that's just the way it is now. No, it's not the way it has to be. Go back and fix it. Go back and if you have to relearn the lesson, but go back and redo what you've done. And then next time, you'll be more careful. And do you know it will get easier? It gets easier to do the job right if you'll just start off doing it right. You see, learning the piano, if you learn a musical instrument, it's not about hitting every note right. You say, well, I'm practicing. You can practice the wrong note and be wrong every time. Perfect practice makes perfect. Practice does not make perfect. That saying is not true. Practice does not make perfect. You will ingrain error into your learning. Perfect practice makes perfect. Perfect practice is when you hit the wrong note, you do it over the right way. And you keep redoing it knowing, oh, that's wrong. Let's try it over. Oh, that was wrong. Let's do it over. Oh, that was wrong. Let's do it over until you learn to do it the right way. That's perfect practice. Now, as children of God, don't be discouraged when you have to redo something. Because we all have needs in our life. And thank God, He is there to continue to teach us. When we fail, I just blew it. Just blew it. I just can't, I don't know if I can live this way. It seems like I just don't have the grace. I just can't do it. Yes, you can. Perfect practice in living for means I'm going to keep coming back and saying, Lord, I'm sorry and I need you to help me. Help me to humble quicker. Help me to be more willing to change what I've been doing. I've been doing it this way and every time it turns out bad. Do you know what that's a lesson the Lord's wanting to show me. So the Lord's not wanting to cut us off. And if you have failed, if anybody has failed this week spiritually, please don't be discouraged. Don't throw your hands in the air and say, well, I just can't do it. No, this is practice. This is experience. The Lord is wanting to prepare us for eternity because we're not ready yet. He's wanting to prepare us. So let's have perfect practice. If you will use that analogy, you know, there's imperfections in most analogies. But as far as serving the Lord, if you fall short, don't just accept that, well, that's the way it is. That's what causes tradesmen to get sloppy. I don't want to be a sloppy Christian. So let's learn the lesson. Do you know that He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. There's another scripture over in the book of Hebrews that talks about chastening. Now, do you know children oftentimes see, how many times have you had a child come up to you and said, Dad, would you please give me some correction today? Oh, Dad, I haven't had a spanking today. Can you spank me today? I'd say something's wrong. Do you know most children don't see discipline and correction as a real positive? Do you know that the Lord chastens us because He loves us? When the enemy does it, he will try to make you feel hopeless and helpless and that you can't ever do it. That's why to identify the enemy versus God. When God brings correction, He not only shows us the problem, He gives us the solution. He not only shows us where we did wrong, He gives us another opportunity to do better, and He encourages us with it. The enemy, on the other hand, tries to take away our hope. The enemy tries to make us think that I can never live this way. So that's just something to put in your little Christian toolkit, or arsenal, if you will, to help identify the enemy. He brings hopelessness and helplessness. Whereas the enemy, or the God, on the other hand, He will correct us. He will chastise us. And you know, the chastisement of the Lord is not always pleasant. It's not always pleasant. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And then in verse 11, it says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are" what? Remember? "Exercised thereby." You know that discipline only really effectively works long term with someone who will receive the correction. It's not joyous. It's grievous when the Lord corrects us because it feels bad, it doesn't feel good. But when things come in life and we recognize that the Lord is wanting me to learn the lesson, there's a lesson here, and it kind of hurts. Do you know that when we will choose to apply our hearts to learn the lesson, we will come on the other side of it and we will be thankful. It's, "Lord, I know that was tough," but it said, "Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness." I learned something. I learned something about myself. I learned something about how to defeat the enemy. I learned something about how to find that place of grace. I learned something, and it was hard. It was hard getting to that place. Correction is not pleasant, but this is where students become skilled in academics. See? It's where Christians become stronger and closer to God. It's when they choose to submit themselves and learn the lesson. It's not about, "Well, that was tough, and I just felt I'm just going to put that out of my mind, and I'm just going to move forward." There is a place for putting things behind, but folks, we can put it behind when we've learned the lesson. See? Or it's going to be revisited upon us. So I would like to encourage us this morning to be exercised thereby with the lessons that come. That means there's a choice involved. Children, young people, when correction comes, you have a choice. You can respond with a hard, rebellious heart to your parents or guardians, and you can resent it. Or you can recognize that, you know what? They're correcting me because they're wanting me to be improved in this area. And do you know the same thing with the children and young people? The sooner you learn a lesson, you know, some, have you ever thought, "Mom and Dad, why do they just keep, it's the same thing over and over and over?" Y'all ever feel that way? Everybody's scared. Well, all the adults are kind of, yeah. Do you know there's a good way to help your parents stop talking about it? Learn the lesson. Because until you learn the lesson, they're going to keep talking about it. They should. You say, I hear this. Yes, I know what mom and dad are going to say. How do you know that? Then why don't you do it? Then you wouldn't have to hear it again. They told you yesterday. And they told you the day before. Yeah, I know what's coming. How do you know what's coming? If you knew what was coming, why didn't you do it today? You didn't learn your lesson. So mom and dad have to tell you again. You know the Lord's the same way? And it's because He loves us. It's because He knows we will be better off when we learn the lesson. So if we want to move forward, it comes from accepting it. There are many different avenues of learning this morning. Learning from the Word of God. Doesn't the Scripture say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, that's one of the reasons we have the Bible. This is called book learning. Book learning. We read, we know what it says. But you know what I find with learning? I think Brother Frenchrit may have referred to this, but you can read something in a book. Be like, oh, okay, I've got it. It's like, okay, you read in a book how to do some mechanic job. Watch a YouTube video on how to repair this in the car. That's fine. You got it, right? You read the book. Okay, here's a car. It's broken. Go fix it. You see people like that, they kind of take it and you tell them to go get a wrench and it's like, what? Now what kind do you want? Now what is it? And they look at it and it's like it feels strange in their hand because they've never used it. It's like, well, yeah, you had the book learning. You're Mr. Expert now. You read how to do it. Go do it. Do you know living for the Lord is important? See, the book learning is very important. It lays a foundation. So let's start there. Are we willing to continue to learn from what the Bible teaches? Because see, we've all, and it was mentioned in Sunday school, we've been around quite a while. But I fear this morning that there are some things that have been regulated to opinion. And that's just Brother Michael's way, or that's just your way, or that's just tradition, or you're just being a little extra careful. We've regulated some things to that when really it was in the book. Modesty is not tradition. Modesty is not just what the saints have always taught. Modesty's in the book. It's the right way to do it. So when people start saying, well, that's just their opinion, and modesty means something. And so I would just encourage us this way. In the weeks to come, if the Lord sends some things from the book and from His Spirit, let's have a heart to learn. Let's have a heart to realize that the book was given for instruction, that we would know how to do it better. And if there's a better way to do it, do you know what that means about my way? It means that my way needed to be improved. And it means then that I have to have an humble enough heart not to feel picked on, not to feel like I'm being singled out, not to feel like I'm being preached at, but to recognize that the Word of God was given for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction. Why? So that we could draw closer to God. That we can learn the lesson to bring some things back into knowing that this is the right way because this was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we can, the Holy Spirit will guide us in truth. And when the Holy Spirit inspires us and corrects us, I want to challenge us this morning not to disregard those checks of the Spirit. Because if we disregard the check of the Spirit, there will come a time, and it doesn't really take very long, that honestly speaking, it doesn't, that we won't feel the checks anymore. It's like, well, yeah, I don't feel bad about that. I can go there. I can listen to that. I can watch that. There's nothing wrong with that. The question is, did there used to be something wrong with it? When you were tender and you were sensitive and you were soft, was there something wrong with it? What changed? It wasn't truth that changed. It wasn't the Spirit that changed. I just didn't learn the lesson. And eventually the Lord's going to recognize that you don't want Him to say anything to you about it because you made a decision. So I want to challenge us this morning that when we feel the check of the Holy Spirit in our life, you spoke too sharply there. You know what happens when you override that check very long? You'll do it and not feel anything. It's like, there's nothing wrong with that. There used to be, but I didn't learn my lesson. And I overrode the check of the Spirit so long that I don't see anything wrong with it. I will tell you in issues of modesty, and we may address this, Lord willing, later. But if we do, I say if we do, would you all please not feel picked on? But is that entreaty okay from behind the pulpit? Because there are things that are happening and influences in our world that sometimes don't get addressed a lot, because if I'm doing it, then I feel on the spot if something's said about it publicly. So we say, well, Monarch's not a good place. Camp meeting's not a place. Someone might be offended. The local congregation's smaller, so someone's going to be picked on. And you know what it means? It doesn't ever get addressed. So when the Word of God comes forward, it's for the purpose of our edification. It's not to make us feel bad. It's not to make us feel like, well, you're just, you know what everybody thinks of you. That's not it at all. It all starts with the inner man, and we've been preaching on that week after week. But what's in the inner man is going to affect the fruit of the outer man. And so when the Spirit of God checks us and gives us those personal leadings, I want to encourage us not to override that. It's not meant to criticize and to humiliate, but it's there to help. And that's where the scripture in Proverbs said, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In other words, a spirit that is open for correction or instruction. See, instruction, there's a difference between instruction and correction, it too, isn't there? Some people don't even want instruction because you're saying that I don't know it. Well, we hope you do know it. Let's remind each other. That was one of the reasons He told us to come together, especially as we see the end approaching, because we need to encourage one another and remind one another how to live righteous lives, because the enemy is trying to cause us to forget or get caught up in the mentality of the world. And so it's not ever meant to criticize or humiliate or single out or make someone feel unwelcome. But if we stop preaching the truth of God's Word under the unction of the Holy Spirit because someone might not like it, most issues that are, I want to say those hot button issues, but many things that people don't want to adhere to, they won't ever get taught anymore. Because then we start catering to the crowd. And it's difficult when you know if someone's maybe short on that. You know what it's easier for the preacher to do? Don't touch it, because you don't want someone to be offended. I don't want to see someone walk away, but I also have to come back to the place that they walked away from Jesus. Well, you're not Jesus. No, but the Word's still the Word. And the Spirit's still the Spirit, which means there will still be people that we love today that walk away when the truth is preached. So then, Lord, help me. Help us to learn have a heart to receive instruction. I'd like to close with, and I guess there may be a part two. You know, that's something else that's important. Lord ever calls you to teach or preach or whatever, know when to shut it down. Maybe you think the Lord's still teaching me that. I'd like to end with one more scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give them? It says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of faith, which means we may not be there. And the thing that we have to realize, and you all, if in the next few months, don't be afraid, please come to service and don't say, I don't know what Brother Michael's going to be preaching. I don't either, okay? I just know that the Lord has something in mind. Okay? I don't know what it all is. But don't say, well, I don't want to go to service because who knows, maybe I'll come up short. Isn't that wonderful if you come to service and you come up short? Can you not go home saying, Lord, thank you. I'm not where I should have been. Thank the Lord I have something to work on. Lord, help me to learn the lesson. So what the Lord wants of us then is to have a heart to receive. And it makes you feel uncomfortable. Okay? It makes you feel a little, you feel like everybody's looking at you. Has anybody ever felt that way? Lord help us. I had some more than once, but I'll tell you one situation. Sister came up to me one time and said, Brother Michael, when you were preaching, you looked at me when you said that. And so you thought I had, you think you were preaching at me and thought I had that problem. I was like, oh Lord, have mercy, no. I said, Sister, I don't do that. I said, I don't do that, but I do look around when I preach. So if you all would rather me preach like this or put my back to you, I can do that. But the reality is, I don't look at people. It's like, I want Stephen, I want to get something to Stephen. So when I get there, my dad told me one time playfully, said, Michael, he said, I won't even tell you what it was on. He said, you got to a certain subject in your message, and he said, you just looked at me. He was just playing with me. But do you know some people, when they feel on the spot, that's how they feel. That's how they feel. Do you know my counsel to you if you ever feel that way? More than likely, you already knew there was a little bit of a problem. And you were feeling a little uncomfortable. And rather dealing with yourself, it was easier to pick on the preacher. So I told the sister, I said, Sister, no, I said, I didn't do that, but I couldn't stop there. I said, but, I mean, if the Lord's talking to you about that, I mean, if the Lord's wanting to deal with you on that, but I said, no, I said, I didn't do that. Learning the lesson. A heart to receive. And if we feel uncomfortable, that's pretty normal. That's pretty natural when we're exposed and we feel like everybody's looking at us. The reality is not everybody's looking at you. Most people are probably looking inwardly and saying, Lord, am I measured up? How am I doing here, Lord? And if we fall short, should we be offended? What is our purpose for being here this morning? Is it just to pat each other on the back? Make each other feel better? Or, I was talking to Max the other day. He said he was ready for he wasn't just wanting fluff preaching. He said he sounded just like Brother Cook. He said if it doesn't make you uncomfortable, it's probably not real good preaching. And none of you are saying amen. Do you realize there's truth to that? I don't want to be made uncomfortable every time I come to service, because there are times I need to be reminded that the Lord loves me. There are times when I'm going through a hard time and I need to be reminded of the Lord's mercy. But if we come to service and we never feel uncomfortable and we never feel exposed, I will say, I haven't learned my lesson because I'm not doing my job as your pastor. So, fair season, folks, I want to do my job. I want to learn my lesson. And if I want to learn my lesson, I want to encourage you all to learn yours too, and we can learn together. Is that a deal? Is that a deal? So if we come and there's something that gets a little close and you kind of like, Brother Michael knew that and he's talking about, no, don't talk to me about it. Don't preach by observation. No, we don't. But what's the job and role of the ministry? If you see the wolf coming in, you see them and you don't warn them, their blood's going to be on your hands. Folks, when I stand at the judgment seat of God, I'm going to give an account of myself, but that's not all I'm going to give an account for. I'm going to give an account for the dangers that I see among God's people, and I failed to warn the people about it. The ministry is going to give an account for those things. I'm not responsible for your soul at the judgment. I'm responsible for it down here to at least give the lesson that the Lord gives and then what you do with it's between you and God. So, that's why the Lord gave the ministry. For correction, for reproof, for instruction, for till we come to the unity. So if I'm not there yet, let's not feel bad about it. Vanessa, you're not in 12th grade yet, honey. Is that something to feel bad about? Well, yeah, she wished she was graduating probably. But do you know that's nothing to feel bad about? Just be a successful sixth grader. Be a successful fourth grader. Be a successful 11th grader, Aubrey. You're not quite there yet. So be successful at what God places before us. So if we're not there yet when the Word of God goes forth, that's okay. But I want to know what the Lord wants of me. So the Lord bless us this morning to learn the lessons that He has. We may continue this later, but the Lord has lots of lessons for us to learn. So let's start opening up our heart, looking for the lesson that we can begin to grow in Him. Amen.